Hi, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of Horror Homeroom Conversations. I'm Elizabeth Irwin.
I'm Quinn Hoffman.
I'm Dawn Keatley.
And on today's episode, we're celebrating Women in Horror Month by talking about the films that inspired our love for the genre. Cerebral, gory, everything in between, these are the films that we're dying to talk about. So stay tuned. Okay, Miss Gwen, this was your brainchild to do a top 10 list, but you refused to rank your films. Is that correct?
That is correct, because I like to go against the grain, because I cannot put these in order. But first of all, I have to kind of go into a little bit about why I got into horror. It was in, you know, the late 70s, early 80s. It was something about sneaking downstairs, watching TV when I was supposed to be in bed, and, you know, just doing something illicit, and it was just so exhilarating, just the action of doing that, like what I had to go through to get there. And I think that that's why my list incorporates a lot of 80 films, because they just give me that same excitement of doing something I wasn't supposed to and being a part of something different and kind of outside of the grain. So I ordered mine chronologically because I cannot put some of these things you just cannot put in front of another. So I also have a hard time trimming down the fat. So I currently have 12. I'm hoping, hey, look, don't judge.
I'm judging.
We're judging.
I'm going to try and get this down to 10. But no matter what, I know that I love Black Christmas. I've always loved Black Christmas, 1974. Did our podcast on that on Horror Homeroom. It's definitely one of my favorites. I'm going to jump next to Student Bodies, which is a horror comedy. But I think it's such an important horror comedy. It was Scream before Scream. It doesn't get the appreciation that it should, because it just understood the genre, and it really just, I don't know. And it had a horse end bookends. So, all right, that's 1981. Next, I have Cat's Eye. It's not that it was necessarily my favorite film, but as I told you guys, I think it was the only film in the history of horror films that ever scared the daylights out of me. I was petrified of that troll, so I can't let that one off the list. April Fool's Day, 1986, fantastic film.
I love that movie.
Liz, yeah. You're going to hate me, but Beetlejuice, 1988.
It's not a good movie. I love Michael Keaton, but
so
it's
much
not
more
a good
comedy
movie.
Than horror, but I love it, and I'm looking forward to the Broadway show. Pet Sematary, which we also discussed in our podcast, definitely a fan favorite. Serial Mom, 1994. Again, a little bit more comedy than horror, but Pussy Willows. Is all I have to say is Pussy Willows. A lot of judgment will probably come from the next one, Jersey Shore Shark Attack. If you haven't seen it, you guys have to see Jersey Shore Shark Attack.
I didn't see that one coming.
It's fantastic.
Top ten ever.
Like Jersey I saw Shore that and I had such gluttonous joy. Like I just wanted to scream and laugh and share it as soon as I watched it. And because we did that, I did that for a Shark Week post on our website.
I remember.
Oh God, it just gave me such joy. Taking of Deborah Logan, 2014, by far probably one of the best horror films I've ever seen. If I had to put something near the top, that would be one of them.
You wrote a really, really good post about that
yeah.
too.
I would encourage everyone to read. I did a couple posts on that one too about The Final Woman, also for Women in Horror Month. And then, God, I'm between Insidious 3 and Final Girls for my last one. I'm kind of, because Final Girls really appeals to my 80s cheesy, chintzy horror comedy side, and they had a great warrant scene where they're singing Cherry Pie. But Insidious, I think it really deals with depression and death in a way that is super interesting to me. So
did you see any sort of like unifying themes when you were thinking about your list that surprised you?
Cheese, a lot of times. I like a lot of camp.
Yeah.
I do. I like my blood, I like my camp, I like over the top.
Do you remember what you have on your top 10 list that's on the site? I'm wondering if this is...
It's still pretty similar.
So that's pretty much what you had on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I think I took
Hellraiser
off.
Logan must be new, though, because I think you...
I might have added it, I'm not sure. But I think that I took off maybe like Hellraiser, okay. Killer Clowns.
So these have stood the
People
test
Under the
of
Stairs
time.
And Candyman. Some of those like, might have come
Ooh,
off.
Oh, I forgot about People Under the Stairs.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. So, but it's pretty darn close to what's on the site.
Okay, things don't change much.
Nope.
All right, I guess I'll go. And mine is very boring compared to Gwen's. It really is. And it's changed a little bit from what's on the site, so I'll have to update that. I put The Wicker Man from 1973 in at number 10. That was a film that I did not like very much the first time I watched it, but it's really grown on me. Jaws is number 9. Always loved that. Invasion of the Body Snatchers is number 8 from 1956. The Exorcist comes in at number 7 from 1983, and that is one of the few films that I found, like, deeply existentially frightening. The fact that the priest has to die at the end, and that there's nothing that can protect us. I mean, I'm generally mostly an atheist, but The Exorcist is about the only thing that might convince me that there's a God and a Satan. The Shining is number 6. Silence of the Lambs, number 5. And I put Silence of the Lambs on solely for Jodie Foster rather than Hannibal Lecter.
Really?
I think Jodie Foster is fantastic in that film.
Yeah.
Not for it rubs the lotion on its skin.
No.
We like different things in movies.
Yeah, interviews do. It Follows is number 4, and that's, I only have 2 films on here that are in the 21st century, which is kind of insane. And It Follows is one of them, and I love that film mostly because of the panning shots and how terrifying it is to see this thing always relentlessly coming out of the corner of your eye, coming out of the distance, always heading toward you, always. I mean, it's death. So this is a film about how death will get you. And I think that's incredibly terrifying. Psycho is number 3 because it's Psycho. I've watched that film about 11 times and love it every single time. The Ring is number 2. Mm. And then number 1 is Halloween, just because I think it's, I don't know, after years and years and years of watching horror films, I still think Halloween is the perfect horror movie. And Michael Myers is pretty much the perfect horror monster. So that's it.
I would agree with all those. Those are really good movies.
I feel like we should do a discussion on It Follows at some point.
Yeah.
Because I think that that's...
you're not a fan.
No, I'm not a fan, but I think that it's just a fantastic film. And where you see it as death following her, I saw it kind of as how sexual history follows you.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a really interesting film to talk about.
Probably Jaws, too, we should at some point. Because that holds up, I think.
Yeah. People that haven't even seen the film, we were just saying this earlier, they reference that film when they talk about being scared of the water.
Yeah.
Well, I do think this top 10 list comes from me being an academic that studies horror film. I mean, these are films that, you know, that you can think about and dissect and write about, and people have ad nauseum. So,
I'm surprised Carrie's not on your list.
Yeah,
I thought that would be.
Carrie came off my list. In a pinch. I had to bring her off.
The reason Carrie isn't on my list is I can't stand her mother.
Love her mother.
Oh my God.
I find her deeply unnerving to the point where it makes the film not pleasant to me when she's in it.
She's probably one of the very few horror characters that literally petrified me because she's so familiar. Oh, and it's Piper Laurie.
Her and the grandmother from Flowers in the Attic. Like, I feel like
there's a lot of overlap.
Yeah. Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. I love that film, but you guys made me narrow it down. It's your fault.
Awful.
It's your fault.
Awful people.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so I will do mine. My number 10 is Tourist Trap from 1979, and it is not a particularly good movie, but it does star Chuck Connors, so it has that going for it. And I saw it as a kid, and it just scared the bejesus out of me because he basically is turning people into mannequins. So do with that what you will. Number 9, I went with 1973's Don't Look Now with Julie Christie and Donald Sutherland. And I really love that movie. It plays with time in like this super fluid way. And it's about grief and horror. And it just feels like a serious horror film without taking itself too seriously. So I think that's pretty cool. Number 8, I went very traditional, and I did put down Carrie from 1976, based not really because of Sissy Spacek, like I love her, but Piper Laurie.
Yeah.
I don't think I slept for a week.
She
really, really did scare me. Number 7, I went back to 1942 for Cat People, because I think that movie, maybe more than a lot, set the template for modern horror. And, like, what sort of tropes evolved from there. So if you haven't seen it, which I know a lot of people haven't, definitely see it. It's about a woman who thinks that she's going to shapeshift into a panther who's going to be murderous and blood-sucking whenever she's sexually aroused.
You wrote about that for Horror Homeroom, didn't
I did.
You?
Yeah, I did. I really like that movie. Number six, I went back to 1932.
Oh,
really? I know, for Freaks.
Oh, yeah. That's totally, that's a good one.
It's so good. It's definitely American pre-code, and it's just bonkers. And the fact that this even made it to screen still shocks me. And I like that it's a movie that you can show people today.
And if people are resistant to the 30s, anybody that's ever watched American Horror Story Freak Show, like, that's all based on that film.
Right.
Like,
only that this wouldn't is even good.
Exist. Yeah. Correct. But it wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for Freaks. And that's well known. It's a good film.
So my number five might be a little divisive. I went with Scream, but not the original. I went with Scream 4. Hear me out.
Scream 4. Well, at least it wasn't Scream 3.
2011. No, definitely wouldn't go for that. But I like that it's so rare.
She likes Scream 4.
I really, really like
she's
it.
She's not a fan of this franchise at all.
But it completely reboots the franchise in, like, really creative ways. And I think the one character, Kirby Reed, she's, like, the first character in a horror film that I'm like, I'm like that. She has an encyclopedic understanding of horror film. She's a total nerd. She gets it. It's cool to finally see a horror fangirl in an actual horror movie. So I would recommend it. Let's see. Number four, I had a really hard time with this because I love, love, love David Lynch. And I wanted to go with Eraserhead. And that's on my original list. And I think Eraserhead is maybe the most perfect movie ever. But instead, I went with 1992's Fire Walk With Me because I really love how divisive it is. And the people either really love it or really hate it. But I think it's such a cool look at trauma for females and really explains sort of horrors, not only fear, that there's a lot of trauma. And that's what I'm interested in.
I have not seen that. So.
Oh,
I guess
yeah.
I should. 1992.
Yeah. Okay. Did you ever watch the series, the Twin Peaks series?
No.
Okay, so this.
I'm not a fan of David Lynch.
Oh, dear.
So kill me now.
Well, I don't know then that this is going to be your bag. This is a prequel, but the movie came out after the television show, so I think people were expecting the television show, and that's not what this is. Number three, I went with Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer from 1986. It's my 180s movie, Gwen, but home invasion movies scare the hell out of me.
They do.
They really do. They trigger something. I don't know what.
I'm just going to bang on your windows. I'm going to go by your house and start banging on your doors.
I will stroke out on you. That literally does scare me. And Michael Rooker is so good. And the character is so relatable. It's a really good movie.
I haven't watched that because it looks too scary.
That's
on my small list of films that look too scary to watch. So
it petrifies me. But you have to watch it.
Really?
I don't think I do. Just watch it like at 10 a.m. Like eating popcorn or something. I don't know. Number two is actually a movie from last year that I am obsessed with. And Gwen refuses to watch it, but I wish she would. It's Summer of 84. And I wrote a post about it. I love it. The post explains why. And my first love, I went with 1955's The Night of the Hunter. It's film noir. So if anybody who knows me knows, I love film noir. Don't look at me like that.
Is that a horror film?
I mean, it straddles the line.
Okay.
I can have Beetlejuice, I can have my film noir.
I just don't like things that I can't pronounce.
It's super fatalistic and just really an upsetting movie. And it stars Shelley Winters and Robert Mitchum. And it's just ethereal and beautiful to look at. So I think if you've ever wondered what film noir is, that's the movie to watch.
Noir.
It's not that hard to pronounce, actually.
It doesn't roll off my tongue.
But you have to check them out. So that's my top 10. I think it's a little bit different from what's up there now. But that's
what makes us amazing.
Yeah.
We also wanted to say that we're going to kind of keep this going by having episodes on our top 10 from different decades. So stay tuned for those because that's going to be a lot easier. Smaller time frame to pick from.
Less to narrow down.
Yeah, less to narrow down. And I think we may be starting with the 80s.
So I don't have to take Killer Clowns from Outer Space off my list.
No,
you know?
That's
Cannibal
right.
Women from the Avocado Jungle of Death.
If you really need to.
I like that trips off your tongue. But film noir is just way too much.
Yes.
It's too much. So that's our top 10. If you agree, disagree, have comments, cripes, observations, let us know on Twitter. And I guess we will see you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.